In the holy name of Jesus, amen. The parable from Matthew 20 indicates that there's no distinction between what God gives his children on the last day. It doesn't matter if you've been a Christian laboring in the harvest for one day, or 10 years, or 30 years, or 80 years. Entry into God's kingdom is by his grace, not by our works. And so the forgiveness, life, and salvation given by God aren't ours to earn or ours to give. It all comes from our master's generosity. Is your eye evil because I am good? Says our Lord at the end of verse 15 of our text. The translation that you have in your bulletins says, "Or do you begrudge my generosity?" And your translation gets at the heart of the problem of those who were hired first to work for the vineyard. But the Greek literal translation is your eye evil because I am good? And this translation gets to the source of the problem. But those hired first didn't like that the master was so generous with his wages because they bore the heat of the day. They did all the work. Yet folks who were hired at the 3rd, 6th, 9th, and 11th hours of the day got paid the same denarius as the ones who worked the full day. And so the master responds, "Do you begrudge my generosity?" And that's really the heart of the matter for these workers. And certainly it can be at the heart of the problem for us in the church too. Because it reveals what we truly believe about our sin and works. It shows what we believe, that our sins really aren't all that bad, and that we can actually earn God's favor through our works. You see, sinners want to try to control the things of God. Our sinful flesh has the tendency to have a "God owes me" sort of attitude. Like if I complete the Bible reading in the year, like Pastor mentioned at the beginning of this year, or if I pray long enough or hard enough, or if I'm kind enough to my neighbors, then somehow God will bless me. Whether it's financial, or whether it's maybe your family life gets a little bit better, or your health gets better, or your work is more fruitful. We want the rewards of the good things we do. And ultimately, we want them to get advantages over our neighbors. Ultimately, us sinners want to control God's creation. We want to control him, control his people, control his gifts, his forgiveness, his love, his generosity. Sinners wish to take these gifts of God out of his hand to be used by us in how we see fit. Though our perspective is extremely limited, we believe that we have the correct view of what is just. Though that's certainly not the case. Because it's almost as if we don't believe in the just punishment of our own sins. In the metaphor of the parable, the one who was hired at the beginning of the day didn't realize how lucky he was to even have a job in the first place. He didn't realize how blessed he was to even be hired by the master. And perhaps we as Christians don't realize how good we have it. We have salvation. We have the forgiveness of sins. We have the kingdom of God with us, among us. We eat and drink the sacrifice of Christ's body and blood here at this altar to forgive you of all of your sins. Heaven comes down to earth right here, the place where the Creator dwells with his sin-filled creation. And I know we talk about these things all the time, so perhaps maybe we're a little bit desensitized to the greatness of what God gives. Perhaps we don't see how blessed we already are. And the reason is because our eyes are focused on the wrong things. We want more than the promises of God. And this leads us to the problem of those in the parable. And it's our problem too, that we begrudge the Father's generosity. But to fix the problem, we need to know the source of our problem. Where is our problem coming from? And the source of our problem, Jesus says, from the Greek translation, sinners have wandering eyes. We're always looking at how generous God is, not to us, but to our neighbors. And we dare to think that we deserve more of God's generosity than them. Our eyes are busy looking at those all around us and seeing if their blessings are more or less than mine. And by golly, if the person who goes to church twice a year and never really seems to care about anybody except himself, if he gets the same, if not more, material blessings than I, then why isn't God blessing me? In that way, we break the 9th and 10th commandments. We covet. We covet our neighbor's material blessings, and we fail to see that God provides daily bread to all people, even to evil people, as the Catechism says. And as soon as we start looking around and thinking that we should get more because of what others have received, our wandering eyes become evil. Our evil eyes begrudge the master and what he seeks to give because we aren't focused on him. Rather, we're focused on what others receive from him. And our wandering evil eyes lead us to dare to think that the master is unjust. But really, what does God owe us? Does God owe us anything? Why would we think that our works are so special that we deserve any more grace from the Master that he doesn't also give to our neighbor? Why would we even dare to imagine that our sins really aren't that bad and that despite God calling us to work his kingdom due to his grace, that we actually deserve something more? All because we are unsatisfied with what we have? That's the definition of entitlement. We can't think we get special treatment over another because of the works we've done. That's not how grace works. Because grace is undeserved. It's given freely and richly, and it's the Master's gift to give, not mine and not yours. So take your evil, idolatrous, covetous eyes off of your neighbor, your fellow church member, or folks from other churches. Fix your eyes on your Master, for he has hired you to work his vineyard. Focus on him, his grace, and be thankful for his grace. Don't become unsatisfied with it. Pray for more of it because you can't ever get enough. Pray that the grace which flows from Christ on the cross would change you, that it would change you to be more like Jesus. For while in the midst of Jesus' own suffering and torment, where were his eyes focused? Was he lusting after the wine that the Roman soldiers got drunk on? Was he unsatisfied with the divine power that he had been given when he saw Pontius Pilate wielding his earthly power to the detriment of Jesus? Would Jesus rather have been in Barabbas' position, who was set free by the voice of the people, while Jesus was sentenced to death by the voice of the people? No. Jesus wasn't concerned about these others. He wasn't concerned about their blessings. His eyes were focused on the Father because he was concerned with you. His eyes were focused on his Father's generosity, who would use his own death to bring undeserved sinners into fellowship with him. That's grace. And where were Jesus' eyes focused? His eyes were focused on the Father. Before the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus cried from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." "Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother. My God, why have you forsaken me? It is finished, and into your arms I commit my spirit." Even the perfect Son of God, the Lamb who's taken away the sins of the world, didn't get any special treatment. Rather, he underwent the labor of the whole day to bring you in at the last hour, the last moment, the last second. He labored that you, yes, a sinner like you, may gain entry to the eternal places due to his great love towards us. Our Master is incredibly generous and gracious, isn't he? So keep your eyes always focused on the crucified Christ, lest we forget the generosity of him who saved us. For by disciplining our wandering eyes to focus on Christ alone, our evil eyes are transformed by his mercy to see our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ as worthy recipients of his mercy too. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.